Have you gone through any valleys in your life this week? We talked about those a little bit the last couple of weeks. Perhaps like the Valley of Humiliation, where in the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian faced that great onslaught of spiritual battle against Apollyon. And that can be a very distressing time, a very discouraging valley. Or perhaps it was like the Valley of the Shadow of Death that we considered last Sunday, where Christian faced a spiritual depression. But it was not one of his own choosing or of his own making. It was actually a spiritual depression that God used to both try his faith and then ultimately to refine his faith. Perhaps like Christian, one of those valleys seemed just to lead to another valley and maybe even to another valley after that, and you felt like you'd never see the light of day again. And sadly, there's a lot of Christians that might feel that way and face that kind of valley. But in the midst of those valleys, this is what we're going to find tonight. Whatever that may be, if you're going through one tonight, or whatever it has been or will be, God often brings others to help you along that difficult path. And that's one of the reasons why we sang the song we just did about the kind of fellowship that Christians can and ought to have to help each other in those valleys. And that's what we find next in our story. Which we got a hint of already when, as Christian was still under the cloud of great darkness in that valley of the shadow of death, remember, he actually heard a voice up ahead. He didn't see anyone. He didn't see anything, really, except the gloomy, fiery pit of hell that was nearby. But he heard a voice, and it was a voice of another Christian on the same path, going through the same valley. He heard it. If you remember what we read last week, you don't need to turn there, but when Christian had traveled in this disconsolate condition, Bunyan writes, some considerable time, he thought he heard the voice of a man as going before him saying, remember what he said? Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. And those words, and really the prospect of a companion for his pilgrim pathway, was a balm to Christian's weary soul. And that is why we were also told last week that Christian hoped, he hoped that could he overtake them to have company by and by. He didn't know if it was one voice or multiple voices, or one Christian or multiple Christians, but he wanted to have companionship by and by, because he didn't know when that valley would end. He didn't know if there was another even darker valley after that. Well, Christian finally did come to the end of those difficult valleys, praise God. And on page 39 of the George Offer edition that we've been reading, on page 39, paragraph 3, right after the poem, we find him getting a little rest, a little bit of relief, along with a chance for that hope of company to be fulfilled. And we'll read through page 41. Now, as Christian went on his way, he came to a little ascent, a little hill, which was cast up on purpose that pilgrims might see before them. Up there, therefore, Christian went, and looking forward, he saw faithful before him upon his journey. Then said Christian aloud, "Ho, ho, soho, stay, and I will be your companion." At that, Faithful looked behind him, to whom Christian cried again, "Stay, stay, till I come up to you." But Faithful answered, "No, I am upon my life, and the Avenger of Blood is behind me." At this, Christian was somewhat moved, and putting to all his strength, he quickly got up with Faithful, and it also overrun him. So the last was first. Then did Christian vaingloriously smile because he had gotten the start of his brother. But not taking good heed to his feet, he suddenly stumbled and fell and could not rise again until Faithful came up to help him. Then I saw in my dream they went very lovingly on together and had sweet discourse of all things that had happened to them in their pilgrimage. And thus Christian began. my honored and well-beloved brother Faithful, I am glad that I have overtaken you and that God has so tempered our spirits that we can walk as companions in this so pleasant a path. I had thought, dear friend, to have had your company quite from our town, but you did get the start of me, wherefore I was forced to come thus much of the way alone. How long did you stay in the city of destruction before you set out after me on your pilgrimage? Till I could stay no longer. For there was great talk presently after you were gone out that our city would, in short time, with fire from heaven, be burned down to the ground. What? Did your neighbors talk so? Yes, it was for a while in everybody's mouth. What? And did no more of them but you come out to escape the danger? Though there was, as I said, a great talk thereabout, yet I do not think they did firmly believe it. For in the heat of the discourse, I heard some of them deridingly speak of you and of your desperate journey, for so they called this your pilgrimage. But I did believe, and do still, that the end of our city will be with fire and brimstone from above, and therefore I have made my escape. Did you hear no talk of neighbor Pliable? Yes, Christian, I heard that he followed you till he came to the Slough of Despond, where, as some said, he fell in, but he would not be known to have so done. But I am sure he was soundly bedabbed with that kind of dirt. And what said the neighbors to him? He hath, since his going back, been had greatly in derision, and that among all sorts of people. Some do mock and despise him, and scarce will any set him on work. He is now 7 times worse than if he had never gone out of the city. But why should they be so set against him, since they also despise the way that he forsook? Oh, they say, hang him. He is a turncoat. He was not true to his profession. I think God has stirred up even his enemies to hiss at him and make him a proverb because he hath forsaken the way. Had you no talk with him before you came out? I met him once in the streets, but he leered away on the other side as one ashamed of what he had done, so I spake not to him. Well, at my first setting out, I had hopes of that man, but now I fear he will perish in the overthrow of the city. For it has happened to him, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. These are my fears of him too, but who can hinder that which will be? Well, neighbor Faithful, said Christian, let us leave him and talk of things that more immediately concern ourselves. Tell me now, what you have met with in the way as you came? For I know you have met with some things, or else it may be writ for a wonder. I escaped the slough that I perceived you fell into, and got up to the gate without that danger. Only I met with one whose name was Wanton, who had like to have done me a mischief. It was well you escaped her net. Joseph was hard put to it by her, and he escaped her as you did. But it had like to cost him his life. But what did she do to you? Oh, you cannot think, but that you know something. What a flattering tongue she had. She lay at me hard to turn aside with her, promising me all manner of content. Nay, she did not promise you the content of a good conscience. You know what I mean, all carnal and fleshly content. Thank God you have escaped her. The abhorred of the Lord shall fall into her ditch. Nay, I know not whether I did wholly escape her or no. Why, I trow, you did not consent to her desires. No, not to defile myself. For I remembered an old writing that I had seen which said, her steps take hold on hell. So I shut mine eyes, because I would not be bewitched with her looks. Then she railed on me, and I went my way. We're going to read the rest of this conversation between Christian and Faithful next Sunday. But for now, we're going to consider this part of their conversation. If you remember, so far, for most of his journey, Christian had traveled on his own, alone. And through this, I think John Bunyan is showing the personal and individual dimension of the Christian faith. I think this is also clear from the brief introduction we were already given to Faithful, because when Christian was leaving the Palace Beautiful, if you remember, that represents the church, he asked the porter, who represents the pastor, if any other pilgrims had passed by. And the only one that the porter mentioned was Faithful. But Faithful did not stay or even stop to refresh himself at that place, at that palace, which was friendly to him. And I think that this is something that Bunyan is trying to teach us, that personal, individual dimension of the Christian faith, how God has to deal with us individually, but it doesn't stay that way. Because Bunyan was sensitive to the Roman Catholic dogma, which says, outside the church, there is no salvation. That was something that was very rampant during that time when he wrote, and especially because there was still some ebb and flow between the Roman Catholic Church gaining ascendance, and then, of course, the Church of England gaining ascendance, and back and forth for a while, depending on the king or queen. And they would say that the church that you need to belong to is the official visible church, whether Rome or of England, and that's what it takes to be saved. Outside the church, they said, there is no salvation. Well, one of the great Reformation truths, which took place just a little over 100 years before Bunyan wrote these words, one of those truths stressed that salvation is in and through Christ, and Christ alone. In John 10:9, Jesus himself says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So from a personal, individual view, salvation is only through Christ. It has nothing to do with the church. It has everything to do with Christ and your faith in him and the work that God is doing in your heart through the Spirit. So even though belonging to the visible church is not a necessary condition for salvation, we saw that this morning. The only necessary condition for salvation is faith in Christ. On the other hand, through Christian's encounter with Faithful, we see that it is an important condition for fellowship and growth. And so that is something that Bunyan is trying to teach. Yes, salvation has only to do with Christ, but that doesn't mean that the church is irrelevant to the Christian's life. In fact, it is essential to the Christian's life. You just must not get the cart before the horse. In fact, we see that this was even an inner longing of Christians for spiritual fellowship along the way. If you remember what we just read, when God placed that little ascent, that little hill right outside the valley, he saw Faithful up ahead and he just couldn't wait to catch up. I've been alone for so long. I've experienced valley after valley. It's been dark, it's been dreary, it's been dangerous, I've been afraid, and I need some help. I need somebody to see. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody that we can pray together with. He couldn't wait to catch up to this man. Christian longed for Christian fellowship. And really, shouldn't that also be our desire and longing as well? We know that there is salvation outside of a church. I mean, granted, when you are saved, you become part of a church, and you need to go to church, but salvation comes through Christ alone. But Christians ought to long for Christian fellowship. That is one of the things that God has had for us. And that ought to be our desire, because that kind of fellowship can be something very special. We're going to look at a number of passages in the New Testament. You can turn to them if you'd like, or just jot down kind of what they say in your margins, in your message guide. But this one I'd like to start out with is 1 Thessalonians 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonian church these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, of course, it applies to all churches. It should apply to our church, our fellowship, our congregation. He writes, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Paul's saying, just the fact of being in fellowship as the people of God, you ought to know, you ought to love each other. And so what we find here is the essence of Christian fellowship, the essence of Christian companionship is what? It's love. And this is what we find going on in that conversation between Christian and faithful, and what we will also see next week. Mutual love is what is necessary within a Christian congregation, within a Christian family. And that mutual love is to be manifested in different ways, several of which can be seen in the interaction between Christian and faithful. In fact, in this verse, we're introduced to a very common phrase that the Bible uses to describe our love and fellowship. And it's that phrase, one another. In fact, if you want to see what fellowship, the Christian fellowship, is to be like, just look for that phrase or phrases like it in the New Testament. How are we to be toward each other, one another? What are we to think toward one another? How are we to feel toward one another? How are we to serve each other? And when you look at those one another's in the New Testament, you're going to find what fellowship is to be all about and what fellowship is really for. And so we're going to use the conversation, or part of the conversation, between Christian and faithful to see what Christian fellowship is for. And we see five things that it's for. First of all, Christian fellowship is for mutual challenge. It's for mutual challenge. This is what happened when Christian first saw faithful up ahead on the road. But after he calls out to him, remember, stay, stay till I come up to you. How did faithful respond? Did he stop? No. Did he go back? Absolutely not. In fact, faithful refused to stop. He refused to turn aside from the path that he was on and the progress that he made. He even says, no, Christian, I'm upon my life, and the avenger of blood is behind me. Now, perhaps faithful didn't recognize Christian at the time. Perhaps faithful thought that Christian was that avenger of blood behind him. So we're not really sure exactly why, but he had made progress in his Christian faith. He made progress on that pilgrimage, and he was not about to go back. And so what happened? That firm resolution of faithful to keep on moving actually moved and stirred up Christian to gird up his loins and run and catch up with faithful. Now, that probably was not the easiest thing to do. Remember, from head to toe, Christian has this armor of God on. He's got the helmet. He's got the breastplate. He's got his loins girded up. And I'm sure it was quite a sight to see him trekking down that path to catch up with faithful. But he did. He made it. But he even went a little bit further. Now, Bunyan says Christian was somewhat moved, and putting all his strength, he quickly got up with faithful. You know what? That is what fellowship and Christian fellowship can do. It can challenge and stir up us as believers. In fact, that's one of the one another's that we find in the New Testament. Go over with me to the book of Hebrews, just a few pages over. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, where the writer of Hebrews says that we are to consider one another. To consider one another, why and for what purpose? To provoke. But not in a bad way, but in a good way. To provoke unto love and to good works. And I think that is what having faithful just ahead of him stirred up in the heart of Christian. He saw the progress he made and he realized he was still far back. In fact, Christian, as we read, had left the city of destruction first. And yet faithful had passed him, and now he saw how faithful was beyond him, and he wanted to catch up. You know, it's a good thing for us to provoke each other to love and good works. It's a good thing for us to have that healthy desire to be more than what we are in our Christian walk. Sometimes we just reach that plateau, don't we? And we kind of think, well, I'm about where I should be. I'm about where everybody else is, and there's really no further place to go. But that's not what Christian fellowship is for. We had to stir each other up. We had to encourage each other to go further, to learn more, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And that is what this relationship began with. And so how do we do this? Well, he goes on in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There's another one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So like Christian, all of us should long for this kind of fellowship so that we can challenge each other and stir each other up to grow more and more in the Lord. And if this is not the kind of fellowship that you see, then this is the kind of fellowship that you ought to pursue. I think Andrew and I were talking a little bit earlier today about how sometimes things may not be exactly what we want them to be. And so, to borrow a term that's been coined by someone else, be the change that you want to be, right? Be the change that you want to see. And so, if you want to be stirred up, maybe you ought to stir someone else up. And together, mutually, as a church, as a fellowship, we grow together. That's what Christian fellowship is for. It is also for, number two, for mutual compassion. For mutual compassion. That's what happened when Christian outran Faithful. And remember, in pride, he compared himself with Faithful. So at first, it was a healthy desire to catch up. But then as he went a little bit further, it turned into pride. And he gave that little devious smile, Bunyan writes, because he had gotten the start of his brother. In other words, when Christian caught up with Faithful, it was pride that caught up with Christian. I mentioned this morning that pride is a very, very hideous sin. And it's something that disguises itself in so many different ways. And it is something that we often cannot even put a finger on until it expresses itself in some way, whether it's prejudice, like we saw this morning from Romans 11, or even that devious smile, thinking, oh, I'm better than him now. There's always this danger of pride in any society or group, and sadly, even in the church. And even in a small church, we can see that pride of whether I've done more or no more. It can eat us up. Sadly, Christian forgot the antidote for his spiritual pride. He forgot the gospel. Didn't mean that he wasn't saved, but he forgot the elements of the gospel that both he and Christian followed in order to get to the place that they were on that path. So what happened next was inevitable. Bunyan says that he suddenly stumbled and fell. And of course, that reminds us of Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before what? A fall. And Christian fell. But how did Faithful respond? How did Faithful respond? He responded to Christian, who actually showed that pride to him, with much grace and compassion. All that Bunyan tells us is that Christian could not rise again until Faithful came up to help him. That's all we find in this episode of the pride of Christian overtaking him when he overtook Faithful. We're not told if Christian confessed to Faithful. We're not even told if Faithful confronted Christian about his pride. It seems like neither was really necessary because they both understood that what happened to the one could easily happen to the other. They had both just come out of those valleys. Instead, I suspect 1 Peter 4:8 was at work in this newfound Christian friendship. And what does that say? Peter says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. What is the essence of Christian fellowship? Love, charity. And then he adds, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Within a body of Christ, within a church, if love is the foundation and the essence of that fellowship, love will truly cover a multitude of sins. Now, that doesn't mean it condones sin. It doesn't mean that it overlooks sin. If there's something that needs to be dealt with, it will be dealt with. But if someone sins against you or says something against you, or maybe you misunderstood what they said, what love is patient. And love will not take offense at those things that perhaps were not even meant to be offensive. And sometimes there's just that attitude of forgiveness. You don't keep a long list of things that someone has done to you and you wait for every single one of those things to be confessed before you cross it off. No. True love and Christian love within fellowship is a love that does not keep those records. Love covers a multitude of sins. And I think that's what was going on here when Faithful comes up, helps up Christian, and nothing more was said about his pride. And that's what Christian fellowship is for. In fact, if you go to 1 Peter 3, if you were already there in chapter 4, if you go to 1 Peter 3, 8 through 10, we're told another, one another, that we are to have as a body of Christ. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 10, Peter continues and says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful. Be courteous." And then he adds, and I think this is also operative in the relationship between Christian and faithful, "not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." In other words, Faithful didn't come up to Christian and say, "I told you so." He didn't come to Christian and say, "You know what? I wouldn't have done that." He came up to Christian and helped him up. And it was never said anything more about it again. Like Christian, all of us should long for that kind of fellowship. And if you long for that kind of fellowship, then you ought to work on that kind of fellowship and make sure that your love toward the brethren does not keep that kind of record, so that we can have compassion toward each other and look for ways and opportunities not to be offended, but to extend love and grace. I mean, after all, that's what Jesus did for us. And that's what we ought to do for each other. That's what Christian fellowship is for. It is also, number three, for mutual communication. Mutual communication. This is what happened when Christian and Faithful finally walked on the same pilgrim pathway together. They talked with each other. And in talking with each other, they edified each other with their words. John Bunyan writes this, "Then I saw in my dream, they went very lovingly together." Now, that's amazing in and of itself. I mean, they had just met, number one. And number two, Christian had just exercised pride against his brother and sneered a little bit at him. But now, with all that under the bridge and all that is forgiven, they went very lovingly together and had sweet discourse of all things that had happened to them in their pilgrimage. And that sweet discourse is what we find in most of what we read tonight and what we will read next Sunday. It's the conversation between Christian and Faithful that's going to last for some time. But just look at what they talk about. This is what Christian fellowship is for. This is what we ought to talk about and try to talk about. What did they share with each other? First of all, they shared their personal testimonies with each other. Isn't that great? And how they both got from the city of destruction to the place they are now. And so even though Christian left first, but now Faithful overtook Christian, and now Christian is back up, we actually learn a little bit about how that happened. It's because Christian got stuck in the slough of despond before he was saved, whereas Faithful was able to make it through relatively unscathed. So he made it a little bit faster. He didn't stay as long, really, he didn't stay at all at the Palace Beautiful. So we understand a little bit more of this relationship, and we understand how they got to where they were, but they share their testimonies. And not just their testimony of salvation, but the testimony of what God has been doing in their lives. Do you know that that's why we take praises and testimonies on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights? It is not a time filler. It's an important part of our fellowship. I mean, it's not a time filler because I can fill the time. We all know that, right? But it's about sharing testimony of what God is doing for you. Why? Because when you hear it from this person's mouth and this person's mouth and this person's mouth, it encourages you that God is still active and at work, even if you're going through a valley of the shadow of death. We need to hear these testimonies. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Perhaps what we need to do is come a little bit more prepared with a testimony of what God has been doing us. Instead of just something, pastor saying for praises and testimonies, I got to think of one. Maybe we need to be more prepared. So maybe in the next couple of weeks, I'll ask you to come prepared to share a special testimony. So that means you're going to have to write it down or think about it a little bit more. Why? Because in doing so, we edify each other. What else do they share? They share their personal trials. Okay, we don't really have this part in our fellowship time, right? Praises, testimonies, and trials. But that's what they shared. Maybe this is more of a one-on-one kind of thing, all right? Sharing trials. Their personal trials. And their trials were different from each other. I mentioned already, Christian had a difficult time in the Slough of Despond. Faithful didn't. Each Christian story is unique. Each Christian story is special because each Christian is truly a trophy of God's grace. And so when you're going through a trial, it's okay to share that trial with a brother or sister in Christ. Why? Because if they have the right kind of attitude of being this kind of loving fellowship Christian, guess what? They're there to help you and encourage you and admonish you. How much better and easier would it have been for a faithful and Christian to go through those valleys, not separately, but together? Christian would have known that the person saying Psalm 23:4 was another Christian. And they would have made it through together. They would have helped each other. They shared their personal trials. They shared their personal testimonies. What else did they share? They shared their personal temptations. Okay, this is definitely not something we probably share in public, but it is something we need to share with other believers at times. Even the temptations that Christian and faithful faced were different. For example, the temptations that Christian faced, we've already seen these. They were sinful suggestions to his mind. And if Christian is sort of a picture of John Bunyan, he was a very deep thinker. In fact, he probably had a very melancholy disposition. We have a number of people in church history that are like this, and maybe this resonates with your kind of temperament as well. Martin Luther was this kind of man. Charles Spurgeon was this kind of man. And of course, we have here, John Bunyan was this kind of man. And so these sinful suggestions were temptations to get him to doubt and blaspheme the Lord. Now, I don't think I have those kinds of temptations very often. So I have a harder time seeing myself in Christian in that regard. But what about the temptations that faithful faced? They were sinful suggestions, not just to his mind, but really to his flesh. These are the sinful suggestions that the devil not only tried with Adam and Eve, but also with Christ himself. It was not just the pride of life in the mind, but also the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And for faithful, these were temptations to give in to his carnal lusts through immorality and sensuality. In fact, it talks about this woman called wanton, and that is a personification of his own lusts and his own draw to sensual pleasures and sensual sin. But they did not share their struggles to be sensational about it. They didn't share their struggles so that they could gossip about each other. They shared their struggles and their temptations so that they could bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you know, sometimes perhaps when you're going through a temptation, you think there's no one else that is going through that kind of temptation. You need to find a brother or sister that you can confide in. They can bear that up with you, help you through it, hold you accountable when those are times. And so we need to help each other in these temptations. But most importantly, they also shared the truth. You know, it's okay to talk about your trials. It's okay to talk about your testimony. It's okay to talk about your temptations. But it all must lead here. You must talk about the truth. So as they shared with each other their struggles, they helped each other through relevant verses from the Word of God. We saw some of those from Proverbs, I think Ecclesiastes as well. And you know what? That's what Christian fellowship is for. Romans 14:19. We will hopefully get to that in a few months before the end of the year. But in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, we're told another one another. We're told, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Edify. And then in Ephesians 4:29, Paul reminds us of the kind of communication there is to be between Christians. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When you talk to someone in this church, do you edify them with your words? Or to use the word that was coined by an old Bible teacher of mine, do you edify others? You gossip about them. It's edification. That's what counts. So if you have a problem with someone, you don't talk to someone else about that someone. You go to that someone. Why? Because in doing so, that's not edifying. You need to edify each other. So like Christian, all of us should long for this kind of fellowship and even offer this kind of fellowship so that we can grow together. Number four, we'll go through these a little more quickly. Christian fellowship is also for mutual care. Mutual care. After this prideful mishap between Christian and Faithful, Christian responded to Faithful's care for him with even more care and consideration as well. I really like how Christian addresses Faithful. I mean, they just met, all right? He knew something about him, but they just met, and he calls him my honored and well-beloved brother. My honored and well-beloved brother. Maybe that's how we should start talking to each other before we have a conversation. My honored and well-beloved brother and sister. But you know what? Even if you don't say it, you ought to feel it. You ought to sense it. It ought to be in the heart. Because Christians ought to have toward each other a care based on esteem for each other. Esteem. Paul tells us this in Philippians 2:3, again, reflecting on the humility of Christ. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's what Christian did. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Obviously, Faithful had forgiven Christian of that proud smile. And now it seems like Christian learned his lesson. He esteemed him. And then this is also a care based on affection for each other. True Christ-like love and affection, like Jesus himself said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That, again, is the essence of Christian fellowship. And these feelings of love and respect and care were mutual because then Faithful calls Christian dear friend. In fact, a true Christian fellowship, our brothers and sisters in Christ should be our dearest friends. And that too is what Christian fellowship is for. 1 Corinthians 12:25, Paul reminds us that members of the body of Christ should have the same care for one another. Care, love, esteem. So again, like Christian, all of us should long for that kind of fellowship. I know you probably all do. To be true friends to one another. But if you want that kind of friendship, then you ought to extend that kind of friendship. Right? Why do we need this kind of friendship? Proverbs 17:17, because a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We need each other. We need each other because there is adversity coming, if not already existing in our lives. Maybe there's another valley just around the corner. We need each other, and that's because, number five, Christian fellowship is also for mutual companionship. Mutual companionship. The biggest boost that both Christian and Faithful received through their new Christian fellowship is that now they knew they were not alone. Now, of course, they knew that God was with them. They knew that. I mean, they had Psalm 23:4 burned into their hearts after they were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. They knew God was with them, and they would repeat it over and over again. But once again, isn't God such a good and gracious God? He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. And he knows how to encourage us at just the right time and in just the right way. Remember when the prophet Elijah was on the run for his life from that wicked king Ahab and his wife Jezebel? Elijah knew God was with him. Even as he was running away for his life, he knew that God was with him because God had not only fed him, but God had also talked with him when he was hiding in the wilderness. But how did God choose to encourage his lonely, weeping, sad prophet? In 1 Kings 19:18, which is also quoted for us in the book of Romans, God told Elijah, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." The knowledge of having companions was a balm to Elijah's weary soul. And that's what Christian fellowship is for. We need each other. And so if we don't participate in that fellowship, we are depriving each other of that blessing, of that encouragement that is so needed, especially in this day and age. This is one of the reasons why churches struggled last year when doors were shut. And in other countries, doors are still shut. And so there ought to be this longing for that companionship. We need that companionship. It's a requirement for the church to have this companionship. That is what Christian fellowship is for. And so it was, as it was for Christian and Faithful on that narrow road, it seemed so lonely at times. God had brought two men together from the same country, who spoke the same language, who had gone through the same similar experiences, but most importantly, they had the same Christ. That's true companionship. 1 Corinthians 11:33 says that when tells us that when the church gathers for the Lord's Supper, we're actually to tarry for one another. It's a word that we don't often use very much anymore, tarry for one another. You know what that means? It simply means you're supposed to wait for each other. Now, in the context of the Lord's Supper, it's basically, you know, it's not gorging yourself, you know. They're going to eat first, and then the poorer people eat last or whatever. But the element is, first of all, being with each other, and then just waiting for each other. Perhaps it also means that you ought to wait on each other. And so, in humility, those that perhaps might be thought higher in the church help with those that might feel lower in the church. But then we're also even to wait with each other. It was encouraging for me to hear Linda's testimony of Christians coming to her aid, waiting with her as she goes through this difficult time. We're companions and members one of another, and really all of us should long for that kind of fellowship and that kind of companionship. It's something that we need. It's something that we desire. Why? Because Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better than one. And I think that's what Bunyan's getting at here. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Christian thanked God for Faithful. And Faithful thanked God for Christian. But for Christian fellowship to be all that it is meant to be, we need to pursue it individually, personally, for the benefit of the body of Christ. But we do so in the way of Christ. We pursue this kind of fellowship in the way of Christ. So, for example, our challenge to each other is to reflect the challenge of Christ for his people. What is that? Be holy, for I am holy. You know, there's a lot of challenges that churches have for each other. You know, some of them... I've read some books or some articles about how a church out in California, or at least a pastor out there, wrote a book on a diet based on the book of Daniel. And so they had a 40-day diet plan for the church. And they were challenging each other to really lose weight. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you need to lose weight. But is that really the primary goal that God has for his people? I mean, yes, he wants us to take care of our temple. He wants us to take care of the things that God has given to us, to be stewards of those things. But the biggest thing is that we might be like him, that we might be like Christ. That's his goal. So our challenge for each other is to be the challenge of Christ. Our compassion for each other is to reflect the compassion of Christ for his people. Do you know that God loves you? And because God loves you, we ought to love each other. Our communication to each other is to reflect the communication of Christ to his people. How does Christ communicate with us? Always faithful and true. In fact, that's his titles that we find in the book of Revelation. He's faithful and true. Is that how you communicate with each other? Are you faithful in what you say and true? Our care for each other is also to reflect the care and love for Christ for his people. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." But also, even though this is a real challenge, our companionship with each other is to reflect the companionship of Christ with his people. We know that Christ will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but we ought to strive for that. In God's providence, we ought to strive for that, to be there for each other, with each other. Because all of this is what Christian fellowship is for. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this example, not only from the life of Bunyan and Christian and Faithful in this story, but most importantly, the example that we have in Christ. And so when we think about what fellowship might have been between our Savior and his disciples, oh, how sweet that must have been. There was that great companionship, that great compassion, that great care, that great communication, but even that great challenge. Sometimes Jesus had to instruct and chasten with his words and his actions, even his own disciples. But Lord, what a heaven on earth that must have been for those disciples, that little congregation, that first church there in Israel. But Father, we're thankful that you've given us the same spirit together tonight, and that we can have that same kind of fellowship through your spirit that Jesus even had with his disciples back then. And Lord, I pray that we will long for that kind of Christian fellowship, that we will get on that little hill, that little ascent, and look and see all of our brothers and sisters that you've given to us and long to get to know them better and love them more and serve them in a greater way. But Lord, may it not just be a longing, but then, Lord, an everyday pursuit. Help us to pursue that kind of relationship. Help us to pursue that kind of friendship. Help us to pursue that kind of companionship, Lord, because we know that the day of adversity may be just around the corner, or maybe we're going through it right now, or maybe there's a personal valley that someone is going through that we don't even know about. And so, Father, I pray that tonight we will pursue after that fellowship. Help us to explore the other one another's in the Bible, because that is what fellowship is for. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.